This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
What the hell's going on out here?
Luke's scared because his eyelids are jammed and his old man's here. We need a live rooster to take the curse off Jose's glove, and nobody seems to know what to get Millie or Jimmy for their wedding present. Is that about right?
That's right.
We're dealing with a lot of shit.
Anyone ever tell you look like a penis with a little hat on?
You're out of here!
Oh, no,
right
no, no,
now,
no,
Jimmy,
you,
I heard
you
that!
You misunderstood me.
Why? What do you mean, why? We're in the championship, aren't we? Well, that's what you wanted, wasn't it? I'll just behave yourselves and act like men.
I'm not much for giving inspirational addresses. The local press seems to think we'd save everyone a lot of time and trouble if we just went out and shot ourselves.
You play ball like a girl!
I think you're a loser.
I'm a bum!
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to this week's edition of the Bleacher Bums. I'm one part of your team, Jimbo, here. Let's welcome in the real star of the show, the Ocho Man. Jono, what's going on, pal?
Hey.
Glad to be on board.
Bring out Fat Albert.
Hey, Rudy, watch this ball go through the roof.
Remember that?
Hey, watch this ball go through the roof.
Hit, Fat Albert. You ain't going to hit anything off of me.
Yeah, man, Fat Albert, you ain't going to do nothing. Man, what a great show.
Oh, it was great. They'd get together in an old lot with a big tire out there. That was Fat Albert's. Hey, why don't we introduce our other guy here?
What is with Steve-O today, that look on your face? Were you not a Fat Albert guy?
I was not a Fat Albert guy.
You need to go back and watch your reruns. It might be one of the greatest cartoons ever.
You're missing out there.
Yeah, I'm sure it's not even politically correct anymore.
Well, none of those were back then. Those shows were great.
We didn't even think of anything like that back then. It was a bunch of friends getting together playing ball.
If there was one show that reminded me of what it was really like around our neighborhood, it was Fat Albert.
With you guys in Madison.
Oh, my God. We had the greatest. It's just a shame it's not like that anymore.
No.
We had so much fun. It's just ridiculous.
I prefer to get on Facebook and look at all the rants right now.
I've had enough of Facebook.
I about had enough of Facebook. I tell you what, though.
What?
This whole hacking thing.
You tell me what.
I couldn't wait to do the show about this whole hacking thing.
You felt like this was a big deal. Is this like the new wave of terrorism in baseball? Is hacking people's computers to see what they're thinking?
No, Jim. I think they did it right to a certain extent, but the punishment, who are they punishing here?
Well, Steve-O and I, everybody is aware, we do a show each and every week called Two Birds on a Bat that is dedicated solely to our love for the St. Louis Cardinals.
All right, go on.
Interestingly enough, Steve brought up on the show today something I had not thought about, and I see where you're going, and that is that while, yes, they did punish the Cardinals, they did take away these draft picks, they gave them to Houston. Who does this really... Obviously, it helps Houston. Who does it hurt, though?
The entire West.
Exactly. So guess what? The rumor is that every scouting director out there changed their password to 1234. They all want to be hacked. Why wouldn't you want to be hacked if you're going to get a couple of draft picks out of it?
Doesn't that tell you that they all kind of feel like all they're doing? I mean, what are they going to hack? We all are using the same stuff, although that's probably not true, I guess.
1234.
1234. Hey, somebody, come please hack me. They're going to be walking around with signs going, here's my password. I need some draft picks.
Let's play hangman, and you guys try to guess my password.
Well, that's the other thing I related it to. You know, being my real job is in the mortgages. It's like, hey, you just bought a house. You don't think you should change a garage code from the previous owner or maybe rekey the front door? Maybe you shouldn't have used the same password when you switch teams.
I don't know about the garage thing.
You need to.
I will forget. I will forget, and I'll be outside the whole time. It's happened to me before.
No. What he's saying is if you buy a house.
Right.
You've got to change the passcode on the garage when you buy it.
All right. I see where you're going
you're
there.
You're going to have a guy come back and take everything from you and then get mad at him for doing it because you were a buffoon?
Yeah, you're the guy. You're the guy that probably leaves his garage door opener in the car when you drop it off to get serviced and somebody's stealing all your crap.
Somebody's getting serviced.
I did that, boy, and I'm not very happy about it. Yeah. Well, $3
million.
Okay.
$2 million? $2 million fine and two draft picks, a second and a third rounder.
Well, if I know how the Cardinals work, they'll probably cut someone's pay.
Oh, boy.
And get that $2 million out of that. Because there's nothing coming out. There's nothing coming out of their pocket. And you guys even signed this guy.
We raised beer prices by 25 cents.
No shit.
I think they did. Steve-O and I went to the Winter Classic. at Busch Stadium.
Right.
And if I'm not mistaken, was a beer $10?
I took out a second
mortgage. It's the most expensive beer in Major League Baseball, and right around the corner you have Anheuser Brewery. Unbelievable. You guys are thieves.
True story. I went down to the World Series in Texas when we play the Rangers. Bought two beers.
Yeah.
And it was like $9.50.
And that was for the World Series.
For the World Series, for both beers. And I looked at him, I said, no, I got two beers. I go, yeah, it's $9.50.
That's
what kind of beer was it?
I got it was Bud Light.
What is it?
Sure?
Yeah, absolutely.
Because it was an inferior beer.
No,
I
no.
see it.
It was Bud Light.
$4.75 a beer.
$4.75 a beer. And I go, you've got to be kidding me. I said, we play 600 feet from the brewery.
Yeah.
And our beers are like $38, you know, for a 16-ounce.
Did you give them a tip? Did you give them a...
Hell no.
You?
No.
You?
I went to the stands. They didn't bring it to me. I was in the stands.
That's
I mean, I went to the
so you wanted
the kiosk.
Do you know why they charge $9 a beer?
Oh, okay. Here we go.
Because they can.
Oh, because, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, what do you want?
It's what the market will bear. No, I get it.
There better come a pole dance with $10 a beer. I'm just saying. That's the price.
You've seen some pole dances.
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. But I go there just to see the athletic girls.
Athletic.
To see if I can get some of them on my softball team, on a co-ed softball team.
No, I get it. That's a good recruiting hotbed.
Wow.
I mean, you see how loose they are by going on that pole up and down.
What's our demographics on this show? How loose can I get?
I don't know.
We've lost that touch. We don't know.
I mean, I'm not comfortable with where this conversation
but
is
I'm
going.
Saying to you, though, that this really affects the American League West
for
and
sure.
The Players Union and baseball. All those owners should say, hey, wait a minute. Who are you helping out here? If they have the fourth pick in some round or whatever, it should go from third to fifth. It shouldn't go third. Now the fourth pick goes to Houston. Two Houston picks. Get out of here. What the hell? They lost sleep? Were you going to win something?
Listen, I'm with you. I don't know. This whole thing to me, it feels like they did it. And I hate to say this because how do they have something this massive and they don't think about the outlying effect, but this almost feels like they did it and didn't think about that.
No, absolutely.
Like, hey, you know, you deserve this from them. They had to have called, right? Seattle and them had to have called and said, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they didn't. Who knows? It blows my mind.
Yeah, this is not a – it should not have been a quid pro quo. It shouldn't have been a, my wife, I get to sleep with yours.
Man. Yeah.
You know? What is that?
Yeah, they should have let them see some of their background and shared it around a little bit.
Exactly.
Yeah, we had this intern running around here, Owens, talking about they're going to take a player off the 40-man roster and the Cardinals are – and I'm like, what? Like, you can't do that. You can't uproot a guy.
And that's the thing. This Manfred. Manfred. He's in uncharted territories here. He's setting precedent,
sure.
And I don't think that's the right precedent you wanted to set with now all of a sudden you're giving draft picks away to as compensation for a penalty that really shouldn't have been like that.
Okay, so let's go another route then. Okay, what would you guys have done then? I mean, there had to be a punishment.
Just financially, and
so
you lose your picks, and that's it.
Okay, here's why it can't just be financially. Can I tell you why?
Well, I said lose your picks, too, but okay. I'm just saying it goes back in the pot.
And don't forget
so they lose picks, but nobody gets it.
No one gets it.
And don't forget about the 46 months in prison.
Yeah, but that's a personal thing.
Oh, I know, but don't forget about that.
You know, it's amazing how they threw that guy under the bus. Oh. You're telling me you're a Cardinal organization and you didn't know anything about it? I know nothing, Cardinal Hogan, nothing.
I took the time to read the unsealed documents. Did you see what this was really about?
No, go ahead, tell us.
He was jealous.
He was jealous.
You got to remember, Jeff Luhnow came from the Cardinals. They had all worked together. So they go over to Houston. Houston does all this stuff, and this guy, and I can't remember his name, it's something with an M maybe, Mahi or something like that. This guy was getting all these accolades for doing all this stuff. And the Correa guy's like, in his email, they like have his emails and everything. He's like, wait a minute. They haven't won a damn thing. We've been winning here for years. I'm not getting any love. I'm not getting any awards. I'm not getting mentioned as the guy that did this and the guy that did that. That's what this was all about. So he hacked in there to try to screw these guys over. But here's the interesting part.
I'm not sure it's called a hack when you have the guy's password.
Well,
I mean, when I think of hacking, hey, the guy sends me an email, right, wanting, so you know, some prince in Dubai has a couple of $1 billion he needs to liquidate, and I go through an email and somehow
figure
some out. Now we're
liquidating funds from Dubai? Well,
yeah.
And
that's,
is this
that's
show
what
going?
I think when it's hacked.
We have nothing to do with that either. I don't want no sheik coming after
yes.
me.
So, but I know what you're saying.
But this was something like, to me, it was like, oh, hey, let me type in jeff.luno
okay, so hang
at
on
Houston
second.
Astros.
So wait a minute.
David Eckstein password.
Let me give you a scenario here. Let me give you a scenario.
Well, we'd like to.
So I ask you to stop by my house while I'm on vacation and
yes.
feed my dog.
Yes.
You've got my key to my house.
I do.
He's also got your garage code that you've left for him to.
Does that mean it's okay for when I'm not home for you to come by and take stuff out of my home?
It's not right, and that's why I got 46 months in prison.
I understand that.
But why do you get to bang my wife now?
Well...
He's banging your wife, huh? Oh, Jesus. I can't believe it.
That's what I'm saying.
I understand what you're saying.
You know, why is... Okay. That's the whole part. You're right. Why wouldn't you just go ahead and do the punishment? But you shouldn't have... You know, if you're foolish enough, you don't trust me?
Well...
Then change your passcode.
The thing that I'm finding the most interesting about this is, you know, you feel like, okay... And I know, believe me, I didn't think about this until you guys said it. And I guess it's just because as a Cardinal fan, I like wanted the thing to go away. I'm like, who cares? Whatever. What's the big deal? Whatever. So, and then it happens. And then you guys bring that up. And I start thinking, I think you guys are onto something here. This is wrong. There's no doubt about the fact that now they've given their competition a leg up, right? Jono makes a great point. I think maybe in this case what happens is the picks just go away.
Right.
But
what's that other shoe to drop you were talking about? Bring up that.
Well, interestingly enough, so this cat is going to jail, as we've mentioned.
Correa.
On his way out the door, so to speak, I think it was yesterday or the day before, don't hold me to this, he releases a statement. And at the end of the statement, he says, this is the last statement I'm going to give while I'm incarcerated. So basically, on his way out the door, instead of saying, I'm very sorry for what I did, shouldn't have done it, whatever.
He's already serving time. What the hell's he asking?
That's right.
Just
right.
Ask for it.
You're right. He has no reason to.
Right.
So what does he say? He says, I deserve, or he says, the Cardinals are being punished. I understand they should be punished. I was wrong. I am going to pay my debt to society. But where's the Houston Astros at in this? Because they hacked us first. Why are they not in trouble? Basically is what he said.
Mic drop.
Wow.
So now everybody thought this was over. Now, I got my conspiracy theory, which I laid out on the Cardinal show. I think Steve liked it. John, I'm going to give it to you. Here's what I think happened. I think that Houston was curious about they wanted their stuff after they left. Their stuff. Kind of like, hey, I want my stuff.
Been there, done that.
Right. They get in and get their stuff. This guy is pissed off about all the stuff, goes in and hacks. I think they told the Cardinals, well, there was a little he said, she said here, but here's what we're going to do. You guys ultimately did a lot of things, which if you read the unsealed documents, I think at the end of the day, the thing the guy did the most was he shared information with Deadspin about trade targets, which Houston had to go to their players and say, because imagine.
Can you explain that for
me? Okay. So imagine being the GM and you're talking about trading, it doesn't even matter who it is, Joe Schmo with Oakland. And nobody knows this. And all of a sudden, it's in the paper. And Joe Schmo comes and says, hey, are you trying to trade me? Oakland calls the GM from Houston, Jeff Luhnow, and says, hey, wait a minute. I thought we were just talking here. Now, I got to explain to my player that I'm not actively moving him. You got to explain it to your player. That's what he did. That really was what the real thing is about. Because they're saying that it made it hard for them to make deals. So that's why there had to be some compensation, right? Well, here's what I think. I think the commissioner said, here's what we're going to do here. We want this to go away. Okay. Here's what we're going to take from you, and we're going to tell you what the punishment is now. So if you want to go crazy in the international market, go ahead, because you're going to lose these two draft picks. Because the Cardinals this year, if you followed them at all, they spent a lot of money and signed a lot of players. okay, in the international market this year. Almost like they knew they were going to be losing these picks.
Can I throw this in too?
Go ahead.
To me, it's amazing that the MLB let this guy go to prison, because they never like to let someone go in front of a microphone that's already about to be faced to the firing squad and reveal everything out there. So I really think the MLB in this situation thought this was a clear-cut angle against the Cardinals. There was no repercussion, nothing that the Houston Astros did to provoke anything or get anything going. So I really think if it was anything remote to something happening with the Houston Astros doing something first, I think MLB would have said, hey, now, wait a minute. We don't want him to go to prison over this. We're going to drop it. We're going to suspend this guy. We're going to suspend that guy. But that's about as far as we're going to go.
Well, again, and
I think that what I'm saying is the intentions of the MLB is clear and clean. I don't think that they meant to do anything that they're hiding or whatever. Yeah.
Well, I can tell you this. There's no doubt in my mind that this guy has a story to tell. And if you go to just get your computer box, as Fish says, and you can Google Chris Correa, and you go to ESPN, and it's the number one story about him on there. And the bottom line is, it's the quote that former St. Louis Cardinals scouting director Chris Correa on Tuesday said he accepts responsibility for a breach of the Houston Astros baseball operations database, but he maintains that the Astros were the team that first stole information. And that's on ESPN. That's
Okay, but you always see that even in the NFL, a guy shoves a guy, then the guy retaliates. They catch the guy retaliating. That's how it works.
I'm surprised that's getting that much. Why wouldn't that get some play months ago?
But hang on a second. Here's the thing that I find interesting about that, okay? Because here's the nut of it, right? Here's what he says. He's given us an exact date here, okay? On December 21st, 2011, a Houston Astros employee accessed proprietary data on a St. Louis Cardinals server. Later, he would learn through unlawful methods the Cardinals' data was used extensively from 2012 to 2014, Correa said in a statement. So if you remember, that's what this was about. He was saying when this whole thing started, and then it got real quiet, he was saying that he wanted to go in and confirm that they were in fact now using stuff developed at the Cardinals in their system, which I think we all kind of felt like, well, Jeff Luhnow went there. I don't understand what the problem is, right? Like, he's going to go there and do his stuff. But it's almost kind of like, We developed this, and I guess what's the word they use? Algorithm. They throw that thing around all the time. I don't even know what the hell an algorithm is. But it's something that gathers information, then puts it together, and then you can look at analytical data, I guess. The truth of the matter is, he's basically saying, yes, I went in there, but I did not do the things you said I did. I went in there because they were stealing our stuff, and I wanted to know what they were stealing. I wanted to prove whatever. The bottom line is everybody had their hand in the cookie jar here. And since Houston hasn't been penalized, the only thing I could think of is the Cardinals aren't standing on a mountain going, hey, what about Houston, right? They're like, let's put this behind us. That's where my conspiracy self comes in and says, Manfred went to the Cardinals and said, here's how this is going to go down. I'm going to tell you what your fine's going to be. You might want to go sign some international players if that's what you want to do. You can do whatever you want to do, but you're going to lose two picks. The $2 million, I mean, that's a lot of money to you and I, but that's like paying a $75 parking ticket to these guys.
Or just charging us 25 cents extra on beer.
Well, Steve said he thinks we're going to be paying $11 for beer this year, which we may be.
It's amazing that it all comes back to us, you know?
Always does. That's the old trickle down.
That's why I sit in the front seats when the Cincinnati Reds show up. I my food, my drinks are all free. That's how it works here. That's a sign of a true fan. Anyway.
Do you really sit down there in the green seats when they come in?
I swear, every time they're in town, I kind of got connections.
Do they make money on you, or do you break the bank on them?
At $250 a ticket.
I don't think I break the bank on them.
You don't drink $250 worth of alcohol?
No, but I do hit their mixed drinks a lot.
Well, that's what I just said. Do you?
Yeah, but how much is that?
I don't know.
That's inflated price.
I'm a bad person to take to the green seats because I don't drink a ton. I'll drink a couple of brewskis.
Yeah, but you eat like nobody's business.
But I will eat.
Last time we went down there,
what did I have, about six desserts? The cookies just kept coming down the line. They were good.
The cookies.
Oh my God! You get into the last call on beer, and all of a sudden the cookies roll down the line, and then I manhandled the buffet in the beginning.
Steve's the guy that goes if there's like a deal, like he starts analyzing how to get his money's worth out of it. Right. So if a ticket to a Cardinal green seat is $250, when he gets to the area where the food is, he starts thinking to himself, "What's that cost in the grocery store? I'm not going to eat that 99-cent head of lettuce. No salad. There'll be no salad."
No, I agree with him.
And pasta. Pasta's out. I go right to the carving station.
Right. So he's going to get the most expensive. If he is going to drink, he's going to think, okay, what costs more? Whiskey, vodka? Definitely all cost more than beer.
Does he bring out his calculator?
Oh, it's unbelievable.
I got an abacus that I usually take to the game.
It's unreal.
Yeah, it is great.
He gives it a lot of thought here, right?
He adds in
parking. He's like, okay, it was $250 for the seat, $20. I'm into this thing for $270. Right. I'm going to need some pork loin. I'm going to need some roasted chicken here. I'm going to need to get the salad out of here. Let's get some milkshakes.
Yeah.
Those cookies I've seen in the store, they're $2.99 a piece. I'm going to need 10 of those.
So
I don't even know why they
throw beans and shit like that out there. I mean, who's going to eat that?
No. So I usually, you know, those little coolers you can bring that fold up real nice and tight, and they make a cooler. I usually bring that in and grab a couple extra things just to take for the road home.
Hey, you know how like you have family
dinner? You're like a homeless individual.
You know how you have family dinners at home, right? Yeah. Whenever he goes to the green seats, they know what's on the menu. We're going to have some bratwurst, some hot dogs, some Cracker Jacks, cookies.
Per inning. He knows what he's going to get per inning.
He's got his thing under there, and the lady comes every inning, right, and says, can I get you anything? And I mean, here it is.
He never gives her a rest.
He's got a wife. And he's got two kids, so there's four of them, right? So by the fourth inning, he's gotten four cookies, four hot dogs.
I met his one kid. He looks like he could eat, too. Yeah, he's a football player
JJ's
looking kid.
Football wrestler. He's eating, I'm telling you.
Yeah, he's not cutting weight.
He's not cutting weight. This guy's ready to go. So, yes, there's four of everything is being ordered, and it's going home. This guy's justifying that $250 ticket. Hey, I got to tell you, I think it's genius.
No, absolutely. You got to think about it, too. If you got at least four people in your car, you can't take public transit. It costs more than the parking down there. Just drive down and park.
Right.
Well,
you get that thing.
Yes.
Too.
Speaking of having a good time at games, it's about to really heat up for us around here when it comes to baseball, and we mentioned it last week. Fantasy baseball is upon us.
Hey, before you get to fantasy, can we talk about Martinez? You guys got a hell of a goddamn deal with that.
That was a deal.
5 years, $10 million a year, $50 million deal.
Well,
are you kidding me? That's what you're paying relief pitchers for the seventh, eighth inning now.
Yeah, you could say that, but the truth of the matter is that...
How did you pull that off?
Well, guys has... I mean, he could be making a lot less.
He could be making a lot more.
He had multiple years left of cross control for the Cardinals. I mean,
right.
That's the
Cardinals' blueprint. They have those guys under control. They throw them. They know they want that contract. They throw that contract out there, dangle that carrot, albeit a smaller carrot.
He's
a 15 mil, absolutely.
Yeah.
If not, at the end of 5 years, he's an 18 mil as the price of pitching goes up. They stole him because what they did is they did that contract early, and this is the Cardinals' way. They do the contract early, give them that money, and get them on the cheap. And that's why they
say
it's a
hometown
discount.
Why did they do that with Albert? When Albert said, sign me. Hey, I'm ready to be signed. No, they did the first one.
It's the second one they couldn't do.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that was, you know, listen, they did it with it. See, you got to remember something. Here's the thing that people can go back and forth about. Albert only had 1 year where he was making the major league minimum. He immediately signed that 10-year contract very early in his career. Maybe in the second year. It was early. Okay, so he got this bump. Carlos Martinez was a first-year arbitration-eligible player this year. He had at least 2 years left of making one-year deals with, albeit decent money, but no long-term commitment, no financial security for the long haul. That's what happens. These teams, and more teams are doing this, they're buying these guys out of their arbitration years, and in exchange for giving them more money and the security, they say, we want your first couple years of free agency. Now, what I think the Cardinals did here, which I think is a great move,
The two option years.
The two option years make this a great deal for them. A great deal.
Well, we know at the end of the 5 years, they're going to look at it. They're either going to say, we lost on this guy, we won on this guy, or we hit dead even in the middle on this guy, right? And the chances are dead even isn't going to happen. So you're either going to win or lose on him. And I think the consensus is if he pitches 3 years, I think you win on the guy.
Well, and I got a question because you guys are Cardinal fans. I want to know, you're the Cardinal management. Okay. How do you sell this to him? How do you sell players?
It's easy.
It's just like I just said. Hey, listen, you could blow your arm out. You could do anything.
I can blow my arm out anywhere,
but you got guaranteed money.
Yeah, but now he's got $50-something million.
But I could probably get that out there,
probably. Too. But he's not a free agent for multiple years. He's cost-controlled.
Okay.
That's the thing. It is. Listen, everybody wants to act like Carlos Martinez was a free agent and he signed a deal. He was not a free agent.
You're right.
He had multiple years left of cost control from the Cardinals. Now it's over. He doesn't have to worry about a thing. Now, look at the Cardinals have done this historically. They did it with Pujols. They obviously hit a home run there. Let's look at some other notable guys they did it with. They did it with Alan Craig. Remember Alan Craig?
Sure.
It looked good at first, right? And then it didn't look so good for the Cardinals. Okay?
Right.
They've done it now with Colton Wong. Hasn't started out so good.
No.
So let's hope that it works out a whole lot better with Carlos Martinez.
Yeah, that's their method of doing it, and that's great. And like I said, the problem is if he, and which we're running into with players, and you see it all the time, when they hit that mark and they fulfilled that contract and played above that price, now all of a sudden these players want to come back and sign the next contract for what they should have gotten. And it just doesn't work like that. Business, I'm not paying you for what you were. I'm paying you for what you're going to be. And guess what? I stole you. I screwed you by giving you that guaranteed money. I got you on the cheap, but I'm not paying you anything more now because you're older.
Well, interestingly enough, and I think John brought up a great point, and that is if you look at what a player's worth, and I think SportTrack does a great thing with the way they factor in what a guy's actually giving you, what he makes, and everything. They've got him valued as an $18.3 million pitcher.
That's amazing.
Without a doubt.
You know? I mean, that's...
I mean, he's sitting there and smiling at the signing, and he's like, what the hell did I do?
Are you kidding me? You don't think that there was a, hey, Carlos, what happens if you go back to the old DR and you don't make it out of there? And you only had 12 million.
Any team could sell that.
No, but here's the deal. But I'm giving you 50 million. And not only is it real, but it's real and it's fresh.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You tug on those emotions. Hey, Mama Bear wants to be taken care of.
That's right. His family
is now taken care of.
As long as you don't do anything, unfortunately, silly,
yep.
Your family is taken care of. And that, listen, Jono, I'm going to agree with Steve on this. That's important. Family security is important. It has to be. Hey, speaking of security.
But you see that. You see that stat. And if you're opening up your laptop and you see that, you're like, dude, I got taken. That's almost another salary of its own. Well, 18 million?
Yes.
I could have went for 15 and signed with someone else.
Yeah.
All I had to do was play it out here. Why am I so desperate to get this contract?
Well, hey, man,
why can't I hold out?
If it goes south in a hurry, you get nothing.
You see it all the time. It was all the leverage and the timing and everything was in the Cardinals' favor. And that's why
just like it wasn't in their
like
favor with Jason Hayward being a free agent between those 26 and 28 years. I mean, that's what's coming up in 2018 with Harper and all this. These guys are in their prime and they're primed and ready to go.
Right. But you get it. Just to expand on the whole leverage, Jono, for you, that's why the big bucks are given to these kids that are juniors in college coming out because they hold all the leverage because they can go back another year, right? You get to a senior year after you graduate, what are you going to do? Say, no, I'm going to hold out another year. No, you got to sign. Here's $500.
I understand that, but those are kids that haven't seen the money. I mean, he's seen the money, and he's heard the talk, and he's been to this laptop site here that's got him projected at $18 million. Why do you do it?
He got, I won't say swindled, but the Cardinals got a great deal. I'll tell you that.
Well, hell yeah.
And he's got security, and if you read the article that's come out, his family's financial security was the top of the list of why he wanted it.
Absolutely, and he loves St.
Louis. How is he that broke?
He's not.
Well, then, what the hell are you worried about
money?
Security?
What do you mean? He hasn't made any money.
What kind of money do you think
he's made?
More than me, you, Steve-O, our producer here. I mean, come on. He's done all right. That's all I'm saying. He could have held out. He could have. And these Cardinals are just clones of the NFL New England Patriots. I know the Patriots come up with better results, but the Cardinals, I'm telling you, man, they don't pay, and people are happy to play here. I don't get it.
I think you're missing out on how much leverage the Cardinals have with a guy that's a pitcher, a guy that wants family financial security, and this is typical. You're seeing this more and more in major leagues. This isn't a Cardinal thing.
Just because the Reds don't do it that way, then, you know.
Hey, we're broke. Yeah. We're broke. We don't care. We don't care. That's the line there.
Are you going to try to find a new team this year?
Never. You know what? My wife says that to me about my teams, and you know what I say to her? So if I break my leg, or I'm in a wheelchair, or if something happens to me, you'll drop me off in some corner?
Well, if you're not getting any better.
Well, that's what she said.
Yeah, but she said she's getting rid of you. Hey, I'm going to give you a little information. You know how much money? Do you know how much money he's made in his career? That. Carlos Martinez?
Yeah, tell me.
$1.7 million.
Oh, Jesus. That's...
Okay, which he's paid...
He can't live with that?
Well, that's multiple years.
That's multiple years.
And he's paid at least 40% of that in taxes.
Okay.
That's not financial security the rest of your life.
No, but I'm just saying to you, I know what you're going through, this hardship of only having $600,000 in the bank. But I'm saying to you right now.
He's got $600,000
in the bank. Well,
whatever. He does.
You made $600,000, whatever the deal is. I know. Well, I'm just saying to you, you've seen those big-time guys with those big-time status. They won't sign an extension. They want to wait. They want to wait to see how they do in the free agency.
Jimmy,
see it with all those guys.
You're exactly right. The 2 years option is the magic on that.
Well, yeah. Well, hang on. But it's not pennies. Right. Those options are $17 million a year.
Right. But
and every other year he's making 11.
6 and 7 years down the road, that $17 million is
that's where it was
is
for
11
them.
Million.
They
in
can
today's
either take
dollars.
Advantage of right. the market. Okay, if he turns to shit, he's got $50-something million.
Right.
No, that's $10 million
a
year for 5 years. Don't give him $50 million like he's just getting it one lump sum here.
I'm not.
Okay, he's getting $10,250,000 a year. Now, a relief guy, that's what he's getting. It's a $51 million contract.
Oh, okay, I see what you're saying.
Okay, so it's a $10 million contract, basically, and you're telling me I got a relief guy sitting in the bullpen, seventh inning, he throws three pitches, and he's going to be making that.
Well, okay, I guess where I'll go with this, too, something you're not thinking about, and I want to...
I guarantee he's going to say, I want this thing restructured. In 2 years.
That doesn't happen in baseball.
Yeah, you don't have that in baseball.
Well, he's going to be very pissed off. He's going to say, trade me, whatever. I'm getting really ticked off seeing this guy in the relief bullpen.
You couldn't be more wrong about that.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I typically agree with you across the board. You couldn't be more wrong.
Okay, then let's put a message in a bottle, throw it out there in the ocean, and watch this thing come to the shore, and then open it up, and you'll see it.
Well, here's the other thing you haven't thought of either, okay?
I thought of it.
In 5 years, 5 years from now, this guy is going to have made $50-something million without the options, mind you, and he's only going to be 30 years old.
Okay.
His earning potential, I mean.
Okay, he still has another four-year contract.
He has at least another four-year contract in him, probably then at the going rate of what a starting pitcher based on his ability commands. The reality of it is the way Major League Baseball has its structure set up, the Cardinals have basically went to him and said, okay, we're going to give you this contract. Two of the years, you're going to be overpaid. Then you may be underpaid if you do, in fact, turn out to be an ace. You'll be underpaid. What if you're not? Everybody, the juice and the squeeze, as you like to say all the time.
No,
listen, we can argue about this all day long. The bottom line is it's all a crapshoot. It's a crapshoot
for him. No one likes to hear you're going to be underpaid.
Well, hang on a second. I find it interesting that you're so quick to jump on how this is a bad deal for him. Was it a bad deal for Colton Wong? Or Alan Craig? Alan Craig's in the minors making $5.5 million a year.
Don't even compare those two clowns to this guy. This guy is a marquee type of player that can go anywhere and pitch.
One great year.
All right, but they want that. You're looking at 500 pitchers making $6-7 million.
Okay, but those
with
guys,
an ERA of 5.something. I mean, honest to God.
And every one of those guys went through the same type of situation that Carlos Martinez.
I don't know.
I just don't know.
I think that you guys are getting a hell of a deal. That's all I'm saying.
I'll give you an example here. Go ahead, Steve. I got a great example for you.
It is a hell of a deal, but everybody got what they wanted right now. And what the Cardinals did is they said, just like Jim said, we'll pay you more now because money now is worth, to an individual, money now is worth more than future money because I need money now, right? But to the Cardinals, that future guarantee was worth more to them. So we'll go ahead and pay you now so you can make it because that's what you want and need, but we're going to get it on the backside. And then hopefully year 6 and 7 will be somewhere close. And I wouldn't be a bit surprised if this guy's going that you don't see the contract in year 4, if he's an ace, that all of a sudden contract in year 4 might be redone to another 5-year contract or so.
Clayton Kershaw, okay, made $390,000, $404,000, $440,000, $500,000. Then he signed a 2-year deal, okay? Clayton Kershaw, where 1 year he made $7.5 million and he made $11 million. I don't understand.
Yeah, but I just don't see this type of pitcher.
And now what's his contract?
Yeah.
Okay.
140
That's
or whatever.
That's fine, but how many years was it before he started making this kind of
money? No, absolutely.
That's my point. I get it. I know what Jono's saying. I don't have any issue with what Jono's saying. Carlos Martinez could have said, you know what? No, let's go to arbitration one more year. Let's go to arbitration one more year. And then the next year, he could have signed a 2-year deal like Clayton Kershaw did. But he said, you know what? I want the security now. Because while that $500,000 in 2011 in his fourth year was nice, okay, what if he blows his arm out?
Exactly.
Or you know what? I just thought of this. What if he says, I'll take the $10 million, but you know what? I want the guy back there that guides me through all this.
Well,
I want you to sign him too.
Well,
maybe there's something that we don't know here that he knows that could enhance his pitching another couple years.
Could be. I brought it up. I think that the financial, not security, the financial knowing of where you're at
right.
with some guys that are going to be around gives you a better idea of whether or not you can afford to keep Yachty around, which I would think would be important. Listen, I'm on record as saying that everybody wants to say that because Kelly's going to be here that Yachty's going to go, right? I think catching's different. And again, we're going to talk fantasy baseball here in a minute. You've got the best team in the league. You need one player. You need a catcher. So what would you do? You'd go out and get the best catcher. Would you go out and get the youngest catcher, or would you go out and get the best? Well, why would you get the best? Because that's what you need.
That's exactly it. But you know what? I'm not looking at Posey to be there 5 years. And this is typical baseball right now. Is Posey going to be around for the next 5 years? I don't know. I don't think so. They've already play him 5 days, rest him one. They rested him every Sunday, it seemed. I mean, he seemed to be wearing down. I don't know if he can go 5-year contract, but I do know that you got the Sanchez of New York, young buck, likes to hit it over the fence, ready to go. I think that's the type of player you go after.
Well, if you can, but the problem is what Sanchez has done it for 3 months. It was a great 3 months.
Oh, okay, but that's
a great 3 months.
I'm saying, though, that's what you got to look at, too.
Well, I'm going to take the guy that's done it for years. Sorry. Now, if I have Sanchez, well, I'm happy about that because that's the way baseball works. That's the way our fantasy league works. When you have a guy like that, at the very beginning, you don't pay him as much. Sooner or later, he's going to cost you. But right now, you get off. That's the way our whole – that's why I love our fantasy league. When you have young players, if they perform, you are in a position – to go get guys and overpay them because you have young guys outperforming how much money they're getting paid.
But
that's why I like our baseball because it's just like Major League Baseball.
But in reality, like we just talked about Martinez, in a spot like a catcher or a pitcher, you have to take a chance, you have to go out, and you have to spend to get this type of caliber because you know what? They're not out there. You got to take a chance.
More teams are locking him up. Look at Kershaw. I mean, he's locked up in L.A. He's not going anywhere. But occasionally, certain deals come up and certain things happen where – listen, look at L.A. They're a prime example. okay? They had a fantastic 1-2 punch that looked like they were going to be a handful for teams for years and years and years. And then Greinke takes a little bit of extra money and goes to Arizona. And it worked out awful for him.
Oh, are they trying to dump? He's 46% of their payroll.
And he is, and he was all, and he was not very good for them last year.
Unbelievable.
That's an example of how a guy took a little more money than a good situation and it did not work out for him. That happens more and more. And it does come down to, like Jono said, Jono makes us about money. If everybody wants to make it about money, I think they lose sight of great, great opportunities. To the fantasy angle, I love this time of year now because that is what's consuming a lot of our time here during the day is we are talking fantasy. The one guy who's not talking much fantasy is this guy to my right. He has got the best team in the league. He has one hole, and nobody can even help him with that hole. He also happens to own the first pick in the draft. You could not be in a better spot than this guy right here.
By the way, I'm the guy to the right, Jono.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
I put this team together. I worked hard, and it's going to pay off. After 2-3 years of negotiating with teams, lower teams like the one I'm sitting to the right of me here, Steve-O. Steve, you know, he had players that were good, and I had to go in there and grab. And, you know, I just made things happen. I've made things happen, and I'm finally happy with the team I have here.
There's one thing we know is that you make things happen.
That's what it's all about here.
For sure.
That's what it's all about.
If there's one thing going down, it's that you make things happen.
I was told that people are going to try to fleece your lineup, is the rumor out there
Folks, if you like our show, which I'm sure you do, and there's other shows just like it at lineupmedia.fm. Lineupmedia.fm, you've got some great baseball shows here. Your local shows are kicking it off. You guys are great on that show, by the way.
Two birds on a bat.
And if you want to know anything that happens every day in your history, that we got This Day in History.
That's been a good show. It's
yeah, they're really piling up some great information. And our Cowboy show, well, you think it would have winded down, but it hasn't because we've got some off-season type of transactions happening with Tony Romo. And it's like Who Shot JR type of thing coming on the Dallas shows. We've got Cowboy Podcast. It's excellent.
What's your call there? What happens with Tony?
Well, I think we're going to release him. We're going to release him. I don't think we can trade him.
Contract too much to trade him?
That's where I'm going. And you know what? Whoever said, you know, that's a spit on Tony's face if we release him.
Not if they let him go somewhere.
No, I think we give him a handshake and say, you're going to be in the ring of honors down the line, but you go where you got to go. You know, I don't know, man. It's Tony Romo. God bless him. Let him do what he's got to do.
Well, that'll be interesting. But like you said, it's a great thing to be a part of lineupmedia.fm. They've got fantastic shows. You brought up a couple of the really good ones. No doubt about it. It's awesome to be a part of just a fantastic network. If you want to learn more about us, though, you can go to bleacherbumspodcast.com. Of course, Twitter is our favorite place to communicate. It's where we can kind of see what's going on in the baseball world. Some of the back stuff that you guys are interested in, that's what we really want to talk about. We don't want to talk about the same stuff ESPN's talking about. We want to talk about the things you guys find interesting. At Bums Podcast is where you'll find us there. BleacherBumsPodcast.com is the website. The best way to subscribe to the show is to just go there. BleacherBumsPodcast.com. If you're on a computer, to your right, you'll see the button to click to subscribe. If you're on your mobile device, BleacherBumsPodcast.com. You'll see our homepage. Scroll up, and you'll see the links to subscribe. It's very simple to do. It's just a great, great way to follow the show and keep up with what's going on. Facebook, don't forget that as well. Bleacher Bums Podcast on there as well.
Yeah. Well, you know what? It's going to be an interesting season. What do you guys think? A lot of transactions happening or just kind of quiet, right to the wire. What's going on?
We've got some guys that have finally signed, and there's still a few. There's a few players left. Now you've got me intrigued. Where I feel like I want to type in here just as we leave and see who's left. I know we finally found a home for, you know, Trumbo went back to Baltimore. Bautista wound up going back. I don't think anybody's signed Wieters yet. Napoli's still out there. We've got Jason Hamill.
Can you back this up here for a second? Okay. It's interesting to know that once you're doing that good at a ballpark, why you want to leave?
Well, I've always wondered that.
If you're making $5-6 million, whatever it is, hey, you know what? I'll take my $5-6 million and hit 35-40 jacks. Why the hell not?
I mean, I just look at more of a thing that could upset the whole, what do you say?
Balance
the apple cart. Ecological system in your program there, maybe, that you're not going to hit that much. And then next thing you know, you're going to be like Jay Bruce of Cincinnati going to Mets, and they're going to be booing you.
Well, these are some interesting names that are left out there. Jason Hamill, who had a nice season with the Cubs. I know it, towards the end he wasn't, you know, count on. Then he got left out at the end. But, I mean, with their pitching staff, I mean, it was hard to argue him not being a part of it in the playoffs. But Jason Hamill, Matt Wieters, who's been a very serviceable catcher, you know, got a little bit of power, doesn't hit for the average that I think anybody thought he would, but is a very good catcher. Mike Napoli, who's been on some winning teams, obviously available. I don't quite know if there's a realistic opportunity for him to stay with Cleveland with Edwin Encarnacion signing there. That doesn't make much sense. Greg Holland, you know, everybody knows what's going on with him. That's an interesting situation coming off the injury. Travis Wood, you know, he's been an okay guy for sure. Brandon Moss finally signed. Joe Blanton, Sergio Romo. You know, Boone Logan, who was like one of the top lefties in the league last year, there's still some guys out there, but for the most part, I think most of these rosters are set, barring some really changing atmospheres.
Well, it's going to be exciting. And what's so exciting is that every team starts off with a 0-0 record. So, you know what? Even people like me that are Reds fans, you never know.
You're tied for first right now, as Fish
would say. I'm tied for first.
I miss Fish. I'll be glad when he's back and this work.
Yeah, we got to get rid of the Steve guy.
Does that mean you want to get rid of me?
No, I like having you here, too.
I just said that, though.
I like having you here, too, but
you know,
I like Fish. I like the way he gets a little excited. You're a little too...
Yeah, you're springy. You're on the edge a little bit.
Well, you know,
you got that problem.
Listen, you guys...
You're on the problem type of guy.
You guys have already swung into full season of baseball. I still have to get through this week in a football. Who do you got?
Well, you know what? I still like the Patriots. I think the Patriots going into the game, a 7-point favorite because they've been there. They're like a horse, a thoroughbred that's done it year in, year out. I think that plays a big role against a team that just broke its maiden and playing in a big-time Kentucky Derby type of setting.
I like the Patriots.
Yeah, I like the Patriots too, but yeah, I'm. My heart's saying go with Atlanta, just to see. That's what America's all based on. The
underdog.
The underdog.
The mutt.
The mutt.
I would like to go with I don't care.
See what I'm saying? And you wonder why I'm so docile on this show right now.
Is that wrong for me to say that?
You know, I mean, so we got, 72 more hours, then football's over with. Give me a little bit of something.
I don't know.
He won't be our fan of the week next year at all, Jono.
Who's that?
Jim.
What?
We can't get him on as fan of the week on our Cowboy podcast.
Oh, you don't want me on there. You guys want my good friend Yadier Molina on there. As it's obvious, he's a huge Cowboy fan, as evidenced by his back and forth with his brother, who's a big Packer fan, who I'm sure is not welcome on your show.
Yeah, no, we don't need
not at
a
all.
Packer. Yeah. All right. Hey, I got a roll here.
Great show. Enjoyed it. Love talking baseball with you guys. I look forward to it every week. For Jim, Steve, and my man, Jono, the Ocho Man. This is the Bleacher Bums. We will see you guys next week.
All right, take care.
Today's show is presented by DaVinci Smart Drink. Order yours now at lineupmedia.fm/DaVinci. DaVinci, excite better thinking.
Need a mental boost? DaVinci Smart Drinks were designed with professional thinkers in mind. With key ingredients shown to improve cognitive function and increase mental energy, DaVinci Smart Drinks excite better thinking. Drink a DaVinci. Let it go to your head.
This podcast was a presentation of lightupmedia.fm.